Greetings, my siblings in Christ. I'm Pastor Shandon Klein, pastor of Breckenridge and Fairmount United Methodist Churches, based out of Breckenridge, Minnesota, and Fairmount, North Dakota. And I'm so glad that you joined us for worship today across the airwaves. We'd also love for you to worship with us in person if you're able to, as we'd love to meet you and welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. As a reminder, our Sunday services start at 9 a.m. at Fairmount UMC and 10:45 a.m. at Breckenridge UMC. Also, feel free to let us know how we can be praying for you over the upcoming week at Breck UMC. That's BRECKUMC at gmail.com. Our broadcast is sponsored by Kathy Dye in memory of Irving Dye's birthday. May his spirit rest in peace and his memory never cease. I've got a few different announcements for you guys. Next Sunday, September 8th, is our Rally Sunday for our children's Sunday school, and we'll be giving away third grade Bibles at Breck UMC. And if you know a third grader who doesn't have a Bible, we would love to give them one, but we also need to ensure that we have enough. So if you do plan on bringing your third grade little one to gift them with the gift of the Word, please let us know as soon as possible, and you can do so at that email address. That is breckumc@gmail.com. And this is just so that we have the correct number of Bibles ready on the 8th. We're also going to have a communion next Sunday instead of this one, since it's a holiday weekend and all. And we'd also love to celebrate communion with our kiddos, right? So and then we'll also have our fall potlucks that will be coming every Communion Sunday after worship. So join us for a lot of fun and some great food on the 8th. We also have some volunteer opportunities that are coming up. Breckenridge UMC, we value youth and outreach, and we have an opportunity to help out in both aspects. So on Headwaters Day, there's going to be a fundraiser for phase two of the skate park being held at Twin Towns Skate Park, and that's at 630 6th Street North in Breckenridge. And we need people to help cook and serve hot dogs for us. I need about two more people. So if you can shoot me a text or a call at 218-517-5553 if you're interested in helping there. And there's also a volunteer need for the fundraiser at the Family Community Center on Tuesday, September 17th, between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. We're in need of volunteers there for serving food and also to help move the children to each activity. And it promises to be a really fun night with our fire and police departments having a tug of war. I've heard it's a time breaker year, so come out and see who comes out on top. But again, we're trying to make a difference in our area children's lives, and fun. This volunteering at this fundraiser will certainly help us do that. The community center has about $4,000 left in their fundraising, and they've got about, you know, a little less than a week left to raise it. So if you'll be in prayer for the Family Community Center, we want to make sure that it stays open. And if you're interested in volunteering, again, reach out to me at 218-517-5553. Again, that is on Saturday, the 14th for Headwaters Day, and then Tuesday, September 17th. Would love to see you. This week, I'm starting a sermon series with the start of our school year. It's called Going Back to Basics. It's going back to basics of our faith as United Methodists. And I know many people come to the United Methodist Church from a variety of different denominations, and many are curious on what makes Methodism Methodism, what makes it unique. So today we'll talk a little bit about the origins of the church through the founder named John Wesley, and a word that's connected to his legacy of both personal and social holiness. With that said, will you join your hearts in prayer with me by Dr. Lisa Hancock of United Methodist Discipleship Ministries? Gracious God, you met John Wesley's uncertainty with divine assurance, and you called him to declare salvation in the fields, streets, and prisons, where people were desperate for good news. Inspire us today to carry the stories of all you have done among us beyond the doors of this building, that we may grow as your church in the world, a living temple that brings your love and grace to the corners of our communities that most need your good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I give you my life, I give you my trust, Jesus. You are my God, and you are enough, Jesus. I give you my life, I give you my trust, Jesus. And you are my You are enough, Jesus. Jesus.
I just wanna be with you. In your presence, in your presence, we just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you. Lord, we just wanna be with you. Lord, we just wanna be with you. Oh, wherever you are, and wherever you're going. Lord, wherever you are, and wherever you're going. Oh, take us with you. Oh, take us with you.
Take my heart.
Oh, wherever you go.
Take my heart.
I just wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you.
Take my heart.
My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life. Just say it to me, say it to me. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all, take it all. My life in your hands. Take it all, take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Now hear these words. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who were called the circumcision, a circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he made both into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us, abolishing the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near, for through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So John Wesley, who was the founder of the United Methodist Church, at the time, didn't really start out as a famous preacher in his day. In fact, he kind of made a lot of enemies at first. He grew up with a spiritual family, with his dad as an Anglican priest, and his mom really truly taught him about the spiritual depths through scripture, ensuring all of her kids learned how to read Greek and Hebrew, reading the Bible in its own original languages, in addition to Latin. And later on, when he attended university as a young adult at Oxford, he would be invited by his brother, Charles Wesley, who was a hymn writer we know of, to be a spiritual director over a holy club that Charles had started there. And they called it a holy club because the members had vowed to live holy lives. They studied scripture together, prayed together, had holy communion together, and they visited prisons regularly. And they would come to have this nickname, the Methodists, because they were so methodical about what they were doing. And it was really meant to be more of a derogatory term. It was something that they were teased with rather than having it be an honor, to be honest. However, there might have been a point, because when John looked at his life, regardless of all of the many spiritual disciplines that he always did, he seemed to be stuck in a spiritual struggle, you know. In 1735, when he was on mission to Savannah, Georgia, he found himself in a literal spiritual storm as the waves kind of crashed against the boat that he was sailing with this group of Christians called the Moravians. John was absolutely terrified for his life. But, you know, in that same storm that was crashing against this boat, threatening everybody's lives, he saw these Moravians singing and praising God. They just seemed so sure of their protection, and it shook him. He wished that he had the faith that they did. You know, he knew that regardless of going through all of these religious motions, he lacked the inner faith that substantiated them. And I mean, how many of us can sometimes be guilty of going through those motions of worship and forgetting our why behind it? I mean, if you can't say amen, say ouch, man. I know I'm guilty. I grew up, you know, I would say all of the creeds of the church, and, you know, what I believed and had memorized them by heart. You know, even then, I didn't get to really feel the Holy Spirit until I let go and allowed myself to be open and faced some of the heartbreak of sickness and death and just, you know, life. I started feeling like there was something missing. And only then, in that grit and that really tough space, did I find a God that was truly with me. And so, begrudgingly, John would end up going to a society. Think of a society as a church gathering on Aldersgate Street on May 24th, on 1735, and he heard a reading that would change his life. When he listened to someone read the preface from Martin Luther, that's right, the founder of the Lutherans, thank you guys, on the letter to the Romans, when he was describing the change that God makes in the heart through faith in Christ, he felt in his heart that it was strangely warmed. And all of a sudden, he felt this wave of trust in Jesus Christ alone for the salvation and not just the works he did. And he felt sure that Jesus had taken away his sins personally, saving him from sin and death. Even mine, he would say. His friend George Whitfield, who was in the same holy club, was doing this new thing of preaching outdoors to, well, pretty much anyone who would listen. And it was primarily to the poor and working class, especially coal miners. And there were people coming to Christ all over the place. And George needed some help and therefore asked John. Now, John really wasn't sure about this outdoor preaching, but started to help him out and soon became the leader of this new movement. You know, he was an Anglican preacher for the Church of England. He didn't have his own church. The world around him became his church. Started up these small groups of 11 people and one leader, and they called it classes, where they would discuss how it was with their souls and support each other as they sought to love God and neighbor. They would start schools, orphanages, and clinics, trying to do all the good that they could in all the ways that they could, as often as they could. And wouldn't you know it, Wesley had haters for it. I mean, how dare he preach the good news to people so vile, so lowly? But he kept preaching. Because those ivory towers of church buildings through the Church of England wasn't his parish. The world was his parish, he said. He'd travel on horseback over 4,000 miles a year, shared the good news with anyone, anywhere they would gather, and he preached around about 40,000 sermons in his life before he died at 87. So this Methodist movement of doing no harm, doing good, and attending upon the ordinances of God was born in a revival of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't to create a new church, really, but more to expand the mission within it. The Methodist Church was born out of this need to recognize a faith made tangible for all people, especially the least, last, and the lost. It was born out of witnessing that there were a people who were being ridiculed and excluded from hearing the good news just based off of their class. And I can imagine Wesley thought about our scripture that we encounter today very often, which is the letter to the Ephesians. And now, you know, the author within that letter names himself as Paul, but scholars find that this letter dates much older than when Paul was around. So scholars think that it was a letter written by one of Paul's students that was trying to steer the spirit of what Paul would say to the church in Ephesus. And I think this scripture certainly extends beyond its time, for sure. Here we see Paul addressing the division that existed in the church between the Jews and the Gentiles that he led from afar. And it's really reflective of our world today. You know, we've created sides both within and outside of the denominations of Christianity, drawn these wedges between those who think one way about worshiping God and others who think differently. And many were forgetting their origins, that they were Gentiles at one point. Those are people who were anyone who wasn't of Jewish descent, and they were once, you know, excluded. They weren't included into the family of God with the Jews, but it was because of God's grace and sacrifice that they were put into connection. They once didn't know who God was. And Christ reconciling all people to himself, not just those who were following the law to the T, but those who were just learning who God was too. The church had forgotten what it was like to be marginalized and the joy of finally belonging to something beyond themselves. And they started to turn in on one another. And so Paul asked them to remember Christ as their cornerstone as they build their church to bridge this gap both between the Jews and the Gentiles as a family. And we're called to do the same. Being a bridge between our cultural differences, our different ideologies, it's still something we're called to today. Just as John hit the streets of England and beyond with a message of God's grace and love to all people, no matter how much money they made, no how much they're different that they lived or where they came from, but through Christ, we're all bound together. We're no longer strangers and aliens to one another. There's no more room for these cliques. But we're now neighbors to love. And we practice an open table in the Methodist Church for this reason, not barring anyone who wishes to connect with Jesus, regardless of what denomination they are or lack thereof, you know. We seek to remove stumbling blocks with remembering Christ as our cornerstone, for we're living temples meant to move through the presence of our living God together. May we remember the legacy of John Wesley this day and remember our mission for uniting the world to one another and sharing God's love with all who will hear it. Amen. Amen. If you are interested in what a relationship with Christ might look like in your life, have questions about Jesus, scripture, faith life with a community of faith, I invite you to shoot me an email at pastorshandonklein@gmail.com as I would love to be in conversation with you. Again, that is Pastor SHAND as in dog, onklein@gmail.com. Now let us join our voices together one last song called When We Come Alive.
Yeah. you and I.
And encouraged by the living word. And again, I'd love to hear and get to know you as well. So you can contact me anytime at PastorShandonKline@gmail.com or reach out to the church at BreckUMC@gmail.com. Until next time, my siblings in Christ, receive this benediction. Beloved children of God, you, yes, you, or a living temple. May God bless you today as you go forth to worship God by living out the story of God's grace that saves us from sin, secures us on Christ, our cornerstone, and lights this holy fire within our souls.